Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with my good friend Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Megan, how are you?
I'm great.
Yay.
We are gearing up for the holiday season, so this week we are talking about gifts that go the distance for kids. Those things that you buy your kids, you know, and maybe they get passed down from child to child, or 5 years later they're still playing with them. They don't end up in a pile of broken pieces or like stuffed under the bed or whatever, because we all know how annoying it is to purchase something that we think is great and then have it be basically just a waste. So I'm going to kick it over to Sarah really quick, because we have a great sponsor this week that we're really excited about. Sarah, take it.
Yeah, so we're super excited. We have Micro Kickboard as our sponsor. If you guys don't know the Micro Kickboard brand, I bet you've seen it and just never connected the dots, because it wasn't on my radar for a while. But Micro Kickboard makes scooters for all ages, and they're actually the U.S. distributor for a Swiss company. The design and the quality is amazing. Megan, I think you can agree.
Yeah, this we is both a perfect... have some This is a perfect example of a gift that has gone the mile. So Clara got one of these for Christmas last year. And the funny thing is, like, everybody else hijacked it. So all the boys, it's just, you know, she's got this little pink scooter, and the boys are constantly taking it, and they roll around the house in it. It's the funniest thing. Like, you'll, for a while, in fact, nobody walked anywhere. They would just have the scooter next to them at the couch, and then whoever had to get would scoot into the kitchen and get food and come back and scoot back in. You know, now they're kind of walking again. But I mean, I will say,
since your kids were using it indoors, one of the things that's so nice is the wheels are like soft. Not soft. That's like the wrong word. But there's not so many scratchy metal parts sticking out to like bang you in the ankle. I think y'all know what I'm talking about.
My hardwood floors are in great condition. But it's not unusual for me to be in the kitchen and just to see my 16-year-old rolling past with his earbuds in. It's actually quite charming. And of course, they you know, we got it last year at Christmas time, so they play with it indoors a lot. But it goes between indoors and outdoors. You know, Clara went up and down our alley and sidewalk all summer long and all fall. And
so they feel super safe. The design, they have great color choices, just really vibrant, tons of color choices. And they have different models for literally ages. On their website, it says 1 to 99 plus. So I would love to see a 99-year-old on a scooter. That
the
would
other
be
thing
awesome.
I need to point
they
out
have
really
adult
quick,
models.
The other thing I need to point out really quick is they turn really easily. So if you've ever used a cheaper scooter that, you know, you're like kind of going straight and then you try to turn and you can't,
you fall over.
You fall over. This one, I mean, all you really do is lean a little bit. So whenever adults come over, I make them ride it too. I make everybody who comes over try it.
They started, so I was reading up, so they started in Europe, and it really was more of an adult, like, get around town in the busy city type scooter. So the design and the ergonomics are really great for that. And Violet was one when she got hers.
That's right.
She literally learned to use a scooter, like, as a one-year-old without too much, you know, danger.
She's
pretty much always in danger, but... so anyway, we love their products, and we are giving away, I'm so excited because this is an amazing giveaway. So we're giving away at the end of the show, one of their micro scooters. Micro Mini is the product name, and that's for ages 3 to 5, and one of the Micro Maxis, which is the one you have, Megan, it's ages 5 to 12, basically
technically
the same. 5 to 12 or 16.
Or 40.
Yeah. And so basically same look and feel, just size difference for like a preschooler versus a bigger kid. And so winners will get to choose their color and get that before the holidays. And oh my gosh, I'm super excited because that is a really awesome giveaway. Thank you, Micro Kickboard.
Thank you very much.
Guys have to listen to the end of the show, and then we'll give you all the details for how to enter that giveaway. And if you're on your computer right now and want to check out their product, they're at microkickboard.com, or just Google that and check out the Micro Mini.
We'll link to it from our show notes and all that.
Yeah, we will link to it and show some pictures, and we'll be sharing it on social media and stuff. So thanks to them. We've worked with them before. They're a great brand. They're based right near you.
They're up in Grand Rapids, so just about an hour and 15 minutes north of me. So,
and they're kind of a family-owned or family-run from the U.S. distributorship is how I understand it. And they're Swiss-made stuff. So very cool brand. Yay. So speaking of awesome things to give your kids, should we launch right in?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
So I feel like gift giving, whether it's holidays or birthdays, gets harder – as they get older. Oh, and I'm sure you, I feel like I'm just starting to realize this. Like, yeah. You know, when they're babies, they just like the wrapping paper. Yeah. And when they're 2 and 3 and even 4, it's just all so exciting. But there's that like early elementary school age where you start to kind of have to deal with like Christmas morning disappointment or birthday disappointment. Maybe disappointment's too strong a word, but the expectations and then the reality, they just have bigger kid sensibilities.
Everything they want is costs a lot more money, and it's not as exciting to them. Like when they're, you know, 4, you can really go and shop. I don't even know if they have this anymore, but do you remember when at Target they used to have like the $5, $10, and $15 aisle? There was like everything in the aisle was like $5, $10, $15,
okay.
or $20.
Okay.
And I remember very distinctly shopping that aisle when Jacob and Isaac were little. And, you know, if we were super broke one year, I might just get them a couple things that were like $5. And they were so excited.
Right.
It could be a Matchbox car for 99 cents. And they'd be so excited. You know, the bar has been raised.
Yeah. And the things that I feel like the choices, and this is part of what we're going to talk about today, but sometimes as a parent, you know the types of things that they really are going to use over time, but they might not have the wow factor.
Right.
So there's like the Christmas morning or the birthday wow factor versus the this is really going to go the distance and I know they're going to love it, but they might not love it at that moment.
Right.
And so like, I mean, hopefully there's a little bit of everything, but I do feel like it gets a little trickier as they get older. And I'm sure that's the same for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not something I've really gotten a hint. I just know now that I have to spend a little bit more on the older kids, and I'm just not going to get that excitement, you
right.
know? I hope you're going to be taking notes as we talk,
yes.
Sarah, because I have a feeling a lot of stuff is going to come to mind.
Yes.
That, so, you know.
That's a good point. So what I thought we'd do is last year you and I collaborated on a blog post about this, pretty much the same topic, Toys Your Kids Will Still Love Next Christmas. And I thought we could kind of go through that. We'll link to that. And then I know, because we're us, that other things are going to come up. And I'm just going to make notes so that by the time you all listeners head over to the show notes at themomhour.com, we will basically have for you a gift guide.
Yes.
It doesn't exist yet because it's going to.
It's in our heads right now.
It's going to be born.
And
as
some
we
of talk. It is buried deeply in my subconscious. But
well, that's why I thought we'll use this post that we wrote last year,
yeah.
which has like 7 kind of solid good choices of different at different age levels. But I know that's going to bring up other things,
yeah.
and I have some other ideas. So by the time you all hear the finished product, just go to themomhour.com. This is episode 28, and we will have links to literally everything we talk about. And if I miss something, yell at me in the comments. But I'm usually pretty good.
You are pretty
good.
You're sometimes better than others.
Sometimes better.
So, okay. So since we're talking about big kids, like things have been popping into my head. Can I just start there? I have
just
a few ideas. And then we can backtrack to smaller kids.
Yes.
But a few things that have come to my attention recently. And one is for Will's birthday, actually, we got him a drone with an HD camera built in.
That's awesome.
So this is what's great about being married to someone like John. Like that is not something that ever would have been on my radar at all. And
that's
the boys
amazing.
Actually went on a camping trip with John and a good friend of ours who brought this like $2,000 drone with him. It was hilarious because it was like this like backwoods camping, but he had this crazy drone thing that took like high tech video and was awesome. It went really high in the air. So it was a very weird camping trip. But the boys loved it. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if they had some really cheap version? Well, they did. It turned out they had like an under $100 version. It was not, you know, the quality of the video is not what it was on the much more expensive version, but it's still really cool. So they take it to the park and they take videos, and it's actually funny because it got stuck on a neighbor's garage and we have all this video of it upside down on the neighbor's garage. And you could see William like approaching with a ladder and going to get one of us for help. And then, you kind of see the ladder come up against the side of the garage. It's actually really cool.
That was great.
But so that was one that, and I have no idea what it's called. I'll find out from John and we'll link to it in the show notes at themomhour.com. But that was something I never would have thought of. The other thing that we are putting on, you know, our shopping list for Clara for Christmas is one of Amazon's new Kindles, which are $50.
Oh, very nice.
I think it's a Kindle Fire.
Okay.
I don't think they've dropped yet. I don't think they've released yet. But she had a tablet that was really, really old, like 5 or 6 years old, and it just stopped working one day. It just wouldn't charge up. So she left it plugged in for 4 months, and then one day it turned on. And she's like, Mom, my tablet just turned on. And she played with it for one day and then it died again and it's gone. It's dead now.
Dead.
But I thought it was so funny that she left it optimistically plugged in for 4 months and then one day it just came to life. But so anyway, if you know, tablets and technology are a thing in your house, you might, and you don't want to lay down the money for an iPad or whatever, you might want to look into the Kindle that's coming out.
And with reading too, because we're getting to the point where now I have two independent readers and it is like the number, and I've had fun because I love, you know, you and I have discussed, we love the feel of a real book, and I think it's good. I don't want them staring into a lighted screen, you know, past bedtime necessarily. However, functionally, you know, mixing it up and having something electronic as well, as because I'm like going to the library. I'm trying not to buy books over and over again, chapter books that I know they're just going to read once when they're into a series or something. So it's fun. It's new territory for me, but that's definitely crossed my mind. I don't think it'll be Christmas this year. But it's got to be. I mean, at some point, they just have to read electronically. It's just too many books.
It is.
Not exclusively electronically. Right. There's some, you know, but to have that.
And for vacations and travel and stuff like that, it's just so nice to have that option. And also, I didn't realize this. I thought if you're one of those people who, like, has the best of intentions to get to the library, but then you end up somehow your books are always overdue. I don't know if that's you. That's me. I just found out, I thought you had to always go physically to the library to get digital versions, but you don't. Yeah. I didn't know that. You can get it from home.
So ours is the Evernote app. I mean, not Evernote, sorry. What's it called? Overdrive. Overdrive. Okay. A separate thing. Overdrive. And I think most libraries use Overdrive, but your local library may use something similar, but I think that's the most common one. So it's both audiobooks and ebooks.
So you don't even have to leave your house.
No, you do not.
That's amazing.
It's great. And mine, when I do the ebooks, it actually comes through the Kindle. So it's like, it actually kicks you over to Amazon and it's just a borrowed Kindle. So if that's your usual like format, you end up reading it in the Kindle format. Yeah.
I should also point out, and I'm not sure how robust their children's section is. I haven't really looked into it, but if you are a member of Amazon Prime, they do have a free lending library as well.
Yeah, and I have never gotten into that. Yeah, I don't know how the kids' books, but that's good. Okay, so I'm going to link
to
Overdrive.
A lot of books on there. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to navigate. Right. There's so much, and some of it is like, you know, like something will end up under classics, and it's actually someone's self-published ebook, like historical fiction they just wrote last month, and you're like, what? But it's for, you know, it's free. I've taken a chance on a few and have had some good luck. So it's another thing. It's another option to look
at. Okay, well, we are completely tangential right now, and I'm just going to take that even further and remind people that you just appeared on the Read Aloud Revival podcast, which is a super popular podcast, especially for homeschooling families, but not exclusively, about keeping reading aloud alive and fun and easy and simple in your family with Sarah McKenzie. So since we're talking about books, we should talk about that, and I'll link to it, and it has nothing to do with Christmas presents.
Well, you know, but the thing is, I think that, I mean, neither does really buying, you know, getting books at the library. However, if that helps you feel
good, really well.
If it helps you, I know, but if it helps you feel better about making a significant purchase in a tablet, because, you know, then you can get a bunch of free books. I think it's relevant.
Yeah.
And I think this podcast is relevant because it's a podcast. And so there.
Okay. There we go.
So, well done, Sarah. Okay. So the third thing I was going to mention for older kids, and I'm sure more stuff will come up, but we've talked before about giving experiences instead of things.
Yes,
I think that's sometimes hard for little kids.
Yes.
You know, hey kids, like it's Christmas morning. You just unwrapped a vacation we're taking next month.
A membership to the science museum
doesn't always fly. But for older kids, I feel like they, you know, often have a little bit better sense of, you know, being able to wait for things
and
delayed gratification. Thank you.
The marshmallow test.
And also, you know, say you can also often make a purchase that goes along with that. So for example, we went on a ski trip a few years ago. We gave all the kids ski stuff.
Yes.
Cool stuff. Like, you know, like neat. I remember they had these cool like ski masks that had fake beards. They thought those were really funny. I mean, you know, they were at the point where they were like 13 and 15 or 14 and 16. I wasn't going to blow them away. Really with anything, unless I got them a new car, which wasn't going to happen. So, you know, the little things sometimes are really fun for them.
Yes.
The other thing my big kids love are footy pajamas. They get the biggest kick out of footy pajamas, which only go up through children's sizes at most stores. But there is a website where you can buy adult sized. So if you're buying for a really big kid, we'll put that in the show notes because I can't remember what it's called now.
Yeah.
But then they all like to walk around in their footy pajamas, like their onesies, you know. And some of them even have the drop seat.
That is amazing.
Which is even funnier. So
that's awesome.
All right, that's all I got for now for big kids.
No, that's what I had when I made a note about experience gifts too, like the museum membership. And the note that I made was that it's good for babies and toddlers who aren't old enough to care. And then it like skips a whole bunch of years where, right, like you said, it's just kind of a buzzkill on Christmas morning. Right. And then it becomes a great option again.
Exactly.
Because we used to ask for that kind of stuff, zoo memberships and museum memberships, when the kids were really little. And that was a huge help for us financially as a family. And I appreciated it, but they didn't, you know, they might have opened a few things they cared about, but they didn't, it wasn't like going to be their wow gift.
Right. Exactly.
So I think that's a great option. So I'm going to go into this post that we wrote called 7 Toys Your Kids Will Still Love Next Christmas, and just kind of pick a few and see where that takes us. And I'm going to go all the way back to kind of little baby and early toddler gifts. So we both have talked about the Little Tykes Cozy Coupe. Do you know the little car I'm talking about?
Yes.
I have one wheeling around in my backyard right now. And it looks pretty much the same as when we were kids, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I feel like totally. Yeah. And I believe that was the one, I think we might have talked about this last year on a holiday-themed episode, where I think I told you that was going to be one of the kids' Christmas gifts, but then on Christmas Eve, like everything else that was supposed to be their wow gift fell apart. It was when Owen and Will were little. They were 4 and 2, or maybe 3 and 1. And we had all this other stuff, like a keyboard. Well, it was broken. There was no plug-in cord. Like, it was missing the cord. Then one kid was going to get the Cozy Coupe, and one was going to get a little motorcycle, and a wheel was missing for the motorcycle. And here it is, like 2 a.m, and John and I are like, what are we going to do? So we gave them both the Cozy Coupe, and they were thrilled.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a big deal at all.
No, so. and it's one of those things that big kids will cram themselves into that thing forever. Once you put it, I do think that ours got put together wrong the first time. Yeah. But once it's put together correctly, it's really pretty sturdy. I mean, we used to live in Arizona and it was outside all the time, so the plastic fades a little bit, but it is such a classic.
It's a classic. It's sturdy. It lasts forever.
And it totally like goes the distance.
It
does. Whatever they say the age recommendations are, the big kids will defy that by cramming themselves into that
little
car.
Absolutely. You know, this reminds, and sometimes they'll fit a lot more kids in there than are supposed to actually.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be a one rider thing, but no, we've had multiple children and someone riding on top, which is probably very unsafe, but this show is not about safety. So that actually brings to mind something else that I forgot to include last year. Maybe we just didn't have room for it, but something that has come up for me since I was a little kid, and that is those like tube things that you can crawl through.
Yes.
I remember being, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 and coveting those with, you know, you just, it's, you're still that age where you kind of want to cram yourself into tiny spaces. And
so
then,
are the ones you're thinking of made of like nylon, like tent material or like,
yeah,
solid?
And then they like, okay. But there's both. And then they pop open, you know, like with the wires.
Those are great.
Yeah. And so like, I remember, you know, it's that feeling of like going in one end and coming out the other end and how exciting that is when you're a kid. And I just remember like being way too old, like so big, I couldn't have forcibly fit my body into it, and watching little kids play in those and being so jealous.
Those are
all
super fun.
I wanted was to get inside
and
one of those.
And those are great if you live in a climate where you have several months indoors, because they can fold up small, but you can bring them out and just put them in the living room or wherever
you're
most.
You can put whatever room you're in. It's great.
Yeah. For your Michigan winters or Arizona summers or anywhere where you have to get physical inside for part of the year. That's a great one. Let's see. So we can't go very much farther without talking about Lego, since we both have
it's
Lego lovers.
Right, but yeah.
And I think you wrote the little write-up last year, which is that, you know, it is one of those things that has both the Christmas morning wow factor and the staying power.
Yep.
And I think there was some comments either on this post or another about, you know, whether you do the like character du jour Lego or more generic. And I think you and I are kind of the same on this, which is they just sometimes want like the Ninjago or the Minecraft set most, but that doesn't mean that they won't build creatively down the line. So I guess I'm not a super purist when it comes to, you know, only having like the free building sets, because that's just what they want. And if you have a Lego builder, you know that they eventually it all gets mixed together and they come up with their own stuff. So
yeah, absolutely. Because I feel like that's the wow. First of all, that's the thing that makes them go, oh, yay, when they open it. And then I know they'll open it up right away and put it together. Like that's a guarantee if I go the character route. And we have an old train table that, you know, my kids haven't played with trains in many, many years. But it at some point just got converted into a Lego table. Mm-hmm. So the Legos just all get dumped on there. Yeah. And so at some point, I mean, within 24 hours, generally speaking, it'll all be mixed up and it'll become, you know, part of something else.
Right.
So I don't feel like it's stifling or limiting. I mean, it's even the character ones, they're pretty like, I mean, the character is the branding or whatever is, it's pretty light. I feel it's usually like the little guy.
Right.
Has some kind of costume on or whatever. Right. And then maybe there's some pieces that you wouldn't find
in the
piece.
It's mostly the box.
It's mostly, honestly, it's mostly the box.
Whatever, like, line of Legos that they're into.
Yeah.
Now, I will say it's great to have, if you have a starter set or if you're new to Lego, because some of those complicated sets, you just don't end up with as many of the regular bricks.
No, you know? Like, yeah.
What happened to a regular rectangular brick with the dots? Mm-hmm. So that's worth, maybe not for Christmas morning, but that's worth investing in just because then when they do start to make up their own stuff, you're not, you don't have a box that's 90% weird shaped. Right.
Exactly. Well, when my kids were little, we just gave them both for the first few Christmases that we were kind of collecting, you know, building our collection. So they'd get a big box of basics and a small thing of, you know, not even small, but like one of the medium-sized ones that was a ship or a alien or whatever. And then, and then they'd have both. And they would, and the great thing about Lego is after a while, you don't really need to invest as much money in it anymore.
Right.
And it just lasts and lasts and lasts. Like there's the output at the beginning while you're building. And then pretty soon, all those little, you know, the big packages plus all the little ones just add up to this mass of pieces and parts. It's pretty fun.
I have to say that, have you ever heard of the website Rebrickable?
No.
So Rebrickable is an amazing concept. I feel like they're still working out the kinks, but basically you go on and you enter the set numbers of the sets that you have, even if the sets are like now in the bin somewhere. And it will pop out different things you can make using the pieces from those sets.
Oh.
It's pretty cool. So if you're like our hardcore Lego, it's kind of a cool concept. But I also want to say that Duplo, so if you're brand new, if you have little kids and this is all like ahead of you, Duplo, which are the kind of
toddler size.
My kids still play. We have a big separate bin of Duplos, and I actually kept them on Duplos for longer because Violet was just starting to crawl when they were starting to be ready for the tiny pieces, and it was like too much for me to handle. I was like, I can't be fishing that tiny stuff out of her mouth. So I kind of waited a little bit before we got super into the big kid Legos, but Duplos are great, and there's a lot of just like a big bin of Duplos, and I would say from like 18 months all the way up to like even 5 and 6 year olds, if they're not really interested in the other Legos yet, Duplos. I mean, we still have them out for everybody.
Well, honestly, I mean, Lego are hard even for 5 and 6 year olds. Not all 5 and 6 year olds have the dexterity to get those little pieces apart, especially when you start introducing like those flat pieces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to be breaking your nails, helping your kids like, you know, get their Lego apart all day, I think the Duplos are totally a great place to start. And they're not that big. Isn't there like another?
No.
Isn't there another?
Yeah, there's Mega Blocks, which I think they're not, it's not the same brand.
Okay,
I mean,
so
it's
I'm thinking of something else. Doesn't Lego have like even a baby version? Or am I thinking of something completely different?
I don't know of a baby version. I think of Mega Blocks, and then we also have a Fisher-Price one that's literally like one dot, like one.
Right, that's what I'm thinking, like a huge, it's huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those, again, are good for younger toddlers. But, yeah, Duplo are – you can be pretty sophisticated with Duplo. And they have both, like, building sets where you can follow some simple instructions, but then they have lots of just generic
– and they've got little characters and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember having a Bob the Builder set that we –
yeah, we just have – Violet just got a Minnie and Mickey train.
Oh, that's cute.
Duplo. So, yes, we are fans of the Lego and Duplo. While we're kind of on the topic, I want to offer some thoughts on kind of licensed character or, like, TV show, movie-driven toys in general. Because I've been kind of – I started out kind of crotchety about that and just, you know, thinking it was – I don't know, just not wanting my house filled with licensed character everything. And then you kind of let go of that as time goes on. But here's something I will say for like Christmas and birthdays is if you don't love licensed character everything, or if you would rather not have, you know, TV shows and movies be the main influence in your child's play, use them for gifts that are going to like just be gone within the next 6 months to a year anyway. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of giving like, if they have favorite characters and favorite shows, I'm totally fine with embracing that. But they love it on like a sippy cup or I'm trying to think of another one. Like Reed has an Angry Birds blanket, like a soft, like fleecy blanket.
And plushies are good for those stuff too.
Yes, exactly. Stuff that like I'm not a big fan of it on bicycles.
Yeah.
Like backpacks, their clothing.
Although sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's very hard to bypass that depending on what you're buying. You know, just I mean, I don't love it either, but like we got Clara last year or two, no, actually like 3 years ago, one of those little, you know, the little motorized cars, the ones I never had growing up and none of the boys ever had growing up. And so John and I felt like we had, like, this is our last chance, but we literally couldn't find one that didn't either have Disney princesses or Barbie. Yes. None.
I mean,
unless we went to like FAO Schwartz and spent, I think, thousands, they have some for thousands
so
of dollars.
True.
They have like mini Mercedes, which is still just another version of licensing, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a different kind of.
This is a different. It's just a different kind of echelon, but still.
I think that's my strategy. Is I don't love that. It seems like, especially if you're going into the big box stores, which is for a lot of people and where they live, like the main choices is Target and Walmart and whatever. It just seems like everything is character driven, and that's okay for when they're really into that character, but. You know, if we're talking about toys that go the distance, number one, it's a little tacky to have your whole house look like that. And number two, it may not be what the next kid is into or like the fad expires. I'm not saying, I mean, it's definitely all over my house. So I hope I'm not coming across as too snobbish about this. I guess my point is that I'm all for it when it's things that are going to kind of like blow over in a little bit anyway. And the kids have the wow factor. So like toothbrushes in their stockings with Angry Birds on them.
Yes, toothbrushes are great.
They are so excited.
Yeah.
And then I don't need to buy.
And then it makes something fun, like a toothbrush fun, which wouldn't otherwise be fun.
Exactly. So I load up on the licensed character stuff on littler things, I guess is my main.
You know, I was just, while you were saying this, I was just thinking the only two things, and I've kind of gone through, you know, back and forth about this too. I'm really crotchety, or I guess I'm more of a stickler when it comes to books. Mm-hmm. Like I will not buy a licensed character book unless it's a coloring book. See, again, it's kind of like the disposable thing, you know? I just feel like you can do better for the same amount of money with almost any other kind of book besides, you know, the licensed character books. And I mean, usually the storyline is dumb. It's just pointless. So you can do better easily with anything else. But the other thing that within reason, I have a hard time like having the character costume pieces unless it's the costume of the character. Does this make sense? Like if a little girl wants to be Elsa, okay, I don't mind buying, you know, the Elsa costume because it makes sense. It is the Elsa costume. That's what it is. But like these generic princess dresses that have like four different Disney princesses on the front, I don't get that. Like you can just buy like a cute skirt and it'll go the distance more. And you know what I mean? So like, but I don't have any problem with it, I guess. Like I know they have sometimes like if they have those nightgowns that sort of vaguely look like Disney princess dresses, but you can't tell which one, like that kind of stuff. I don't mind it. I just try to avoid it because I just think for the same amount of money, you can just find better. There's just better choices.
Right. And I think it's easy, especially when you're like, when the grandparents are asking what they like and what they're really into, it is often a movie, and that's great. Like the favorite movie and the favorite TV show is great. I think maybe where it helps is to stop and think about what's the toy or the activity that they're really into, and does that particular thing need to be character driven, or can the character driven stuff be part of functional everyday life, like cups and toothbrushes, and coloring books are a great one, and whatever else, because sometimes that more creative play stuff will go the distance longer if it isn't character driven, in my experience.
Yeah.
And the marketers do a really good job of making us think that everything needs to be, or that they will only like it if it is, you know, stamped with XYZ character. But I think, so that brings me to another of the tips that I wrote down, and that is get yourself on the mailing list for toy catalogs that are not from that cookie cutter mess media marketing machine. It's like my favorite thing ever. So I have a few in front of me.
Hearthstone
is great. Yes, Hearthstone.
Or Hearthstone. Hearthstone.
Hearthstone. Yes, because that's actually not in this list, but that's right up the same alley. Do you get Magic Cabin? That's my favorite.
I don't anymore, but I always used to love it.
It's like hippie homeschool Waldorf.
Oh, it's all Waldorf. None of the dolls have smiles. They're all, they have little pointy hats on and everything. Yes. Yeah, but it is like magical. Just looking at it makes me feel like, oh.
And then Lakeshore Learning is another one. And then we have one I'm looking at called Mindware, which is kind of like science-y. Even if you don't shop completely, it does a great thing. And then I let the kids look at them and circle things. They think they're like placing an order, but it's, even if we get nothing or buy nothing from them, I think it's great to have them look at those things and then get ideas yourself for just types of toys that are not just what you see in the Toys R Us toy aisle. So
totally agree.
Most of us want to unsubscribe, I would say somehow get yourself on those mailing lists. It's fun.
And most small towns, I mean, most big towns too, but most, like, if you have like a town with a little downtown area, will have at least one toy store that kind of has the higher end brands and the more creative stuff. And sometimes just walking around those can give you ideas. Yeah. I like to support those stores, so I will try to buy something from them, whether it's, you know, just like that one special gift or just a few little things for the stockings or whatever, depending on my budget and what we're looking for that year. I always end up buying something, and they usually offer free gift wrapping too, which can be
That's really nice.
But also, I've just gotten kind of inspiration from them. Like, for example, a lot of them have this little, I can't even think what it's called, maybe like Woodsies or something. They're like these little animals.
Like calico critters?
Calico critters. But is a calico critter like the high-end version, or is that the Target version? Because there's a Target version as well.
No, calico critter I think is high. I don't think of it as super high-end, but I think it is.
It's more expensive. You can spend kind of a pretty penny, though, once you start getting the accessories. So 1 year we got Clara this adorable calico critters little house that had like, I think I want to say a bear family. It's really well made. The pieces are great. Like the dresses don't, you know, they're easy to get on and off and like stuff doesn't fall apart. And the next year it just wasn't in the budget. And then I realized that Target has a knockoff version. Yeah. And so I got some pieces for Claire to stick it. You know, was it as nice as the calico critters? No, but I got the idea because I was in a store that didn't have all those distractions of all the character driven stuff. And I was like, oh, this is a good idea. Then the next year I was able to kind of build on it in a budget friendly way. I think I probably was at, I think it was Target, either Target or maybe like one of our other big box stores, but I'm pretty sure Target.
That's such a good philosophy in general, is kind of to start with like it's like your wardrobe, right? You have like your staple pieces or a couple things that you maybe spend a little more on or, you know, are going to last longer, and then you can accessorize. American Girl too, it's the same thing where there is a Target line of, and Allegra loves to look at the little, it's mostly, she likes like the idea of like a sleepover set for the dolls where they have like pizza and all these things. And that's another great way where you can kind of mix and match the big ticket items with some knockoff accessories.
I don't know if you had something else that you wanted to segue into, but
no, Jen, go
something
for
just
it.
Popped into my head. This is taking a little bit of a veer off into a different direction. But it's just something I decided I was going to be kind of curmudgeonly about now that I never really was. And so bear with me here. I just threw away like 17 board games. Okay, that's maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. And I have vowed to myself that I will no longer purchase the electronic version, the character version, the, you know, new and improved championship version of any classic board game. We're getting the classic version or we're not getting it. Because I'll tell you what, I had four different versions of Monopoly that have been given to the kids mostly by relatives. But sometimes we would buy what, because we're like, oh, what are we going to get? Like, oh, this would be, you know, this is a filler gift. You know how like you need one more gift?
Yes.
And you're standing there, you got to get out of the store and you're like going crazy. So you just grab that like one thing, and it's often been some kind of like special version. And I tell you what, I don't know if it's they don't invest as much time anymore in making sure the pieces all go back in a logical fashion. That could be part of it. I feel like the boxes break down faster. The pieces get lost. They all get mixed up. They have weird pieces that like need batteries or don't really serve any purpose, and they're big and clunky. And I just had enough. We used to love playing board games with the kids, and I feel like we haven't done it as much lately because every time we'd go to play a board game, it would be this big ordeal of pulling everything out and going, So the kids had been playing this vintage version of Life that I got at a garage sale just because I thought it looked so cool. It was like really old. They've been playing that more than these new board games I got. So I start with a clean slate. All we have left now is chess, checkers, and Chinese checkers, which, I mean, you can't get more classic than that.
Right.
And then I think I have Yahtzee, because that was just Yahtzee.
Yeah, that's
and
a good one.
Like Uno. But I'm starting over. This year, we're getting new Monopoly. We're getting new Sorry. And it's going to be classic. Like the one that fits in a small box and just has normal pieces.
Yeah.
Except no, Todd.
I hear you. And board games are something that I feel like when your kids are not quite ready for them, or when they're in the, say, to like 4 to 6 age range, board games get exciting in theory, but it's been very frustrating for me before my kids could read. And when I had a young toddler, board games were pretty much like my personal nightmare. And we're just finally getting to where the older two can play it on their own, or where it's actually fun to play them with them. And I still have a toddler, but it's that part's getting a little bit easier. So, whereas a lot of Christmas and birthday gifts, it doesn't bother me to buy a little bit ahead of where they are developmentally, books, for example, or clothes they can grow into, or things that, like, it's maybe not perfect for right now, but they'll start to love it soon. And I almost think board games, I would not recommend that strategy. It's just, if they're not ready for it, if it's too hard, or it's just going to require a lot more, you know, adult supervision. Yes. And I just feel like for a few years there, it was games that in theory we should all want to play together that just didn't work.
It's one of those, like, the ideal versus the reality. And I will also say that that, like, 3 to 8 year old range, you know, 3 to 7 maybe, you are a prime target for marketing of all those junior versions of games. Some of them are well thought out and some of them actually work, but a lot of them are crap. A lot of them aren't fun. They seem like they're targeted toward the right age range, but then, you know, it just doesn't work. It's not the game you think it is. It's like some kind of bastardized version of the game you grew up loving.
Right.
And then you're trying to, like, kind of shoehorn your kids into this one game, and it just doesn't work. And so I sort of decided just to skip that. Like, I think we did that with Jacob and Isaac, and we had, you know, lackluster experience. Well, the fact that I don't have any of those anymore probably tells you they weren't that great. We just decided to wait. If you're not ready for the real version.
I think that's good advice. I think we kind of got into the idea of board games too early. Like, it seemed like they're ready for board games. And now I feel like 3 years after we said that, they're really ready for board games. I got beat in chess, legitimately beat by my 5-year-old in chess yesterday.
That's great.
Now, I'm not an amazing chess player, but I was trying.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and do you know, I feel like I wrote a blog post now. This is, like, you know, kind of hitting my memory here, where I wrote something about how to play board games with your kids without losing your mind. I'm going to have to look this up. And one of them was, you know, kind of come up with your own version of the game. That's, you know, that makes it 10 minutes instead of 2 hours, and let them win. I mean, I was shameless about throwing the game when my kids were younger. One other thing I will say before we move on from this topic is, one thing I find is a way to kind of ease into the board game thing, especially if you want to buy something fun that's like one of those, yay, I got this game, but like, it doesn't take up a lot of room, are card games.
Yes.
Card games are, like, I kind of feel like you can fudge a little bit on card games. Like, they don't have to quite be old enough, because there aren't these, like, all these moving pieces.
Right.
The directions are usually pretty simple. Yep. You can kind of fake it a little bit if they don't really know. They don't take up much storage, and they're not expensive. You know, if you spend less than $10, then, like, it's not a hit. Okay. No big.
Yep. And memory games are fun. I mean, I feel like the kids can start to play simple memory games. And we have one that I'll link to called Chomp, which is, we got it as a birthday gift, and it's basically war, like, where you're each playing a card or whichever, but it's with sharks, with ocean animals, which we loved. So it's like the shark beats the fish and the fish beats the shrimp and stuff. So it's cute. Yeah, that's a great idea.
We have a version of memory that we got. One of the kids got in a Wendy's Happy Meal or kids meal like 7 years ago. And out of all the kids meal gifts and stuff that we've ever had, or toys we've ever had, we still have this Wendy's memory game rattling around. We play it all the time.
I love it. I like memory. That's a fun one.
Yeah, it's fun. It's easy.
I'm also terrible at that.
So. I'm terrible at it too, but that works out great, because then they always win and they're happy.
It's my spatial challenge. Exactly. I'm not
Me too. I'm like, I swear I just saw it. It was there. It was there. And, you know, the kid's like, no, mom, it was one row over. Like,
I'll beat anybody in Boggle. But
yes, me too.
Okay, I have a couple of other specific things from our post that we wrote that I want to mention. One is Magna Tiles. Do you guys have Magna Tiles?
We do not.
Okay, they're really
expensive.
You told
me about them. Yeah.
That's what I'll say up front. And the knockoffs, in my experience from the times that I've encountered them, are not as good. Doesn't mean you shouldn't get them, because if that's the budget and you want something similar. But Magna Tiles last. I mean, you could drive over them with a semi-truck and they will still be there. They are so durable. If you don't know what they are, they're magnetic building. They're sort of two-dimensional, like little flat shapes, but they're so magnetic that you can stick them together to build different things. And obviously, I'll link to it and show a picture. But I have to mention them because the price can be so prohibitive. The first year I asked for them from grandparents and we got a really small set because the small sets are still like $40 or something, but you only get a certain number of pieces. And then we built on it from there. But it is so worth it. Every kid who comes to my house plays with Magna Tiles. Grown-ups love to play over Thanksgiving. Whenever the last time I had a bunch of family here, I brought them out at the table where everybody was sitting around because I kind of wanted the kids to mingle, but the adults to be able to keep talking. And, the adults were playing with them. They're amazing. So that is one that if the budget is there or if you have relatives asking for a gift or if you just want to start the collection and add to it, that I'm a huge, huge fan. So.
That's great. I love when there's like a super specific thing people are really excited about.
And you always know like the things that that other kids who come to your house always play with. And uh-huh. for us, one of them, because I don't have that cool of toys. I'm usually not that house that's that awesome. But yeah. Magna Tiles, everybody loves Magna Tiles. And the other one is these, I put this in the list that we'll link to too, but is these play scarves. Like, like the silky. Yeah. But the ones that I think they are from Magic Cabin, actually, in this case, the ones that we got, and they're not super expensive, but they're bigger and stronger than most of the little ones. Like if you go to like, music class at the library or something, they're those little, and they kind of are mesh and rip. So these are really durable and they're really big. And I think what I wrote about in the post is that kids have played with them. I mean, they are superhero capes. They are costumes. The other day they tied a bunch of them together like Rapunzel style and were dangling them down from the second floor. And it'll be a baby doll blanket. It'll be, I don't even know. And I love toys like that really will over the years just work into other imaginative play. And that's the idea. But this particular set, they're bigger so they can use them for more things. And I've washed them in the washing machine. I don't know if you're supposed to, but I have and they're good. So those are two more specific things from my end.
One thing I just thought of is that was a few years ago, Clara's gift. It was when we were working with One Step Ahead and I got an art easel. Mm-hmm. One side's a chalkboard, the other side's a dry erase mm-hmm. board. And then there's like a roll down paper thing. And that is like out in our living area because I didn't want to put it in Clara's room. She doesn't spend a lot of time in her room anyway. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want it to just get kind of like lost up there and forgotten about. So I put it kind of right in our center of our living area. And everybody plays on that thing.
Like, oh, that's great.
Whenever the kids are just kind of hanging out in the living room, someone will, write something on the chalk or on the dry erase side. And half the time it's like some kind of cryptic code. I have no idea what it is. But it's just one of those things. It looks really nice. It's solid. It looks like a piece of furniture. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind having it in there. And it's just one of those things that was Clara, she was excited when she opened it. Did she play with it all day? No, not really. But it's just something that's lasted and has given our family a lot of use. Anytime like younger kids come over, there's something for them to do because there's mm-hmm. an easel there. They can draw on it with chalk or whatever. I mean, she can play school. It's really kind of fun. And that's been one of those that's really gone the distance. And the other thing is puppet theaters and kitchen mm-hmm. stuff.
Kitchen. I was going to say play kitchens. We've never had a puppet theater, but that's another great one.
They just get used for so many different purposes. Yeah. And the kids can really get creative with them. So I like them for that reason.
Play kitchens, I was just about to say for sure, because that's one that, and I don't know if this even needs saying, but if you're right at the beginning of parenting and you are maybe going to have more kids, definitely go for generic colors. I mean, I know I'm not anti-pink at all, but kind of like the licensed character thing, if you have a pink-loving girl, there are things you can get that are pink that aren't going to pinkify your whole future. Yes. Like the cozy coop in the kitchen and things that, even if it's not you having more babies that may or may not love pink, but just hand-me-downs and, so that's all I'll say about that.
And those are also the kind of toys I really have always liked to have out in the main area of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just feel like they're the kind of thing that kids play with enough that they don't need to be relegated to like a bedroom.
Right.
Or a toy room, unless the toy room they're in it all the time, So it's, yeah, consider like what your personal style is when you're buying that kind of thing, because you might find you want it right outside your real kitchen. Right. You might find you want it in your real kitchen because while you're cooking, maybe your toddler wants to pretend to cook too. So that's a good tip.
Love the pink, but again, there's things.
Hey, if you have a pink kitchen and you love pink, go for it, I guess. But
go for it. we've kind of gone down our list, and then we've obviously come up with a lot more.
I feel like we should really briefly cover stocking stuffers.
Okay, go for it.
We already talked about licensed toothbrushes, which that is genius. One thing that I always put in stockings as Play-Doh.
Oh, and that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's cheap. It is exciting. Like, kids get excited about Play-Doh. They love it. Especially if you get the cool colors. You know, you can kind of go outside the box a little bit and get, like, the set that has, like, the small ones, but they're in, like, neat neon or pastel colors or whatever. Or you can get, like, the little accessories. That's something that's always kind of gone over really well for us. I think what else we do for stocking stuffers. Depends on the age of the kids. Those little packages of playing cards or trading cards. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the kids will even trade for different games. So like one kid's into Pokemon and one's into something else. And they're, sometimes those can even be kind of, can even kind of cross over. Gosh, what else? What do you do for stockings?
Well, toothbrushes I mentioned before, but usually like an outrageous toothbrush. Like we have Star Wars ones that light up, you know, like like a novelty
They're
toothbrush.
Huge. They never fit inside the toothbrush thing.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. Like Band-Aids. It's another functional, but can be like your favorite licensed character.
Yeah.
Brian's my husband's family grew up always doing toiletries in stockings. And I know he's not the only one. There's other families that do like your toothpaste and your toothbrushes. And then I didn't grow up doing that, but I feel like we've kind of come halfway. So we usually do some functional items like that, but that are really fun.
Yeah.
So they might get toothbrush, Band-Aids, and even underwear maybe, or socks.
In their stock, we do underwear.
But it's usually their favorite licensed character or something really fun and silly. But Band-Aids are a fun one. Violet loves
Band-Aids. We do underwear and socks. And I have to say also the stocking is where we've first introduced to every kid things like deodorant. Older kids, Axe body spray. Not that we buy them Axe body spray, but like not the body spray, the like the shower gel. Uh-huh. When they've kind of crossed over into big kid land, that's how we let them know it's time.
Yeah.
It's time for you to start using this stuff on your armpits and doing a better job washing yourself. Merry Christmas. They get super excited about it. So
that's great.
Now that's all the older kids, and Clara usually now gets some kind of bubble bath or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, nail polish.
Nail polish. Yeah, something for that is exciting for her. We were always big into toilet. My family, not as much. John's family is totally a toiletry in the stocking family. And I got on board with that because I love toiletries. And
I know. Socks. It's fun. And especially and then when you get to the young adult college age with the boys who maybe aren't going to Target all the time, new shampoo, you know?
Yeah. Well, last year we got Jacob and Isaac both really nice shaving kits. You know, with the, not like the thing that everything goes in, but like really nice razors or kind of this cool kind of hipster brand.
Right.
I don't know. The handles were wooden. I have no idea what they were. But they thought that was kind of cool, especially because they both need to be shaving more often than they are. It was kind of a nice reminder, you got to get rid of that sketchy stash you got going on, son.
No, I will say something I've learned with stockings and younger kids, so say under 8 or 9 years old, is that they are so, the frenzy is so extreme in the going through the stockings that if there's something in there that sometimes I've made the mistake of putting something in the stockings because it's small and it fits, but really it's maybe a gift that I want to have a little bit more attention paid to.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. I did that with some really cool plastic dragons for Reed last year because he loves dragons. And these are really nice. Do you know that Schleich?
Oh yeah,
brand?
Schleich. Yeah, yes. The heavy ones. Yeah.
Beautiful. And I feel like it was totally got missed. And they were really nice. It was like a dragon and a dragon rider guy. But anyway, so
that's my personal
rule.
Just know
that stockings sometimes get torn through and you're like, wait, there was something really cool in there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. My kind of personal rule for whether something goes in a stocking or not is it sort of a throw, not a throwaway, that's not the right word, but is this supposed to be the star or can this, you know, be part of the choir? And if it's supposed to be a star gift, then it does not go in a stocking because I totally agree that it sometimes gets overlooked.
Totally. All right. Well, we will probably have 50 more ideas. And I often add those things to the show notes anyway, even if we haven't talked about them, just as I'm putting things together. Yeah. So don't forget, everybody, everything will be at themomhour.com. This is episode 28 and links to everything we've talked about, plus a bunch of things that we forgot to talk about.
This is going to be a very resource rich show notes, I believe. Yeah. Episode 28.
So we should probably move on to let people know about our giveaway.
Yes.
So if for some reason.
Thank you for patiently waiting and listening to us ramble.
If you stepped away or
fell asleep.
We are giving away 2 scooters from Micro Kickboard. One is their Micro Mini, which is for ages 3 to 5, roughly. And one is their Micro Maxi, which they put for ages 5 to 12. And Megan has experienced.
We have broken the rules a bit.
Larger teens on that scooter.
Yes.
You'll get to pick your color. They will ship before the holidays, so it could be an awesome under the tree gift. And we're super excited. So basically what we want you guys to do, if you have not subscribed to our show or left a rating or review, we would love you to do one of those things before you enter this giveaway. It's totally on our system. We have no way of knowing that you did. We're just asking because those things help us grow the show. And the more successful we become as a show, the more opportunities we'll have to give away awesome stuff like this. So everybody wins. So that's sort of like the honor system prerequisite. If you have not either left us a rating or review in iTunes, and I'll link to how to do that in the show notes, or subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, all of those things help us and help send the message to the powers that be that people are listening to our show. And then after you've done that on the honor system, check out microkickboard.com, check out those scooters, and look at all the fun colors they have. And then all you have to do officially to enter is leave a comment on the show notes post for this episode, which is episode 28. In that comment, we do need you to let us know if you'd like the mini or the maxi or either, because when we select our winners, we're going to take the first two winners and cross our fingers that we've got one of each. If not, we'll have to move on to the next person. So if you're open to receiving either one, tell us that. If you have a specific preference, tell us that. And I think that's it. So this show will air November 17th. The giveaway will run through Wednesday, November 25th, which is like a week and a day. So we'll be able to give you a last minute reminder next week on next week's episode. And then the giveaway will close just in time for Thanksgiving and like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, so that if you don't win, you have time to kind of adjust your gift giving plans. What else? Did I miss anything logistically there?
No, I think that was pretty much it. If you missed any of this, though, we'll recap in the show notes as well, just so you can do a quick read. But really, it's to leave us a comment. Let us know which one you want. And please subscribe and rate and review and all that good stuff, because we love that. And we love to hear from you guys as well.
Yeah, and it really does. It really does help. It helps us show, you know, our brands and our partners that people are listening and engaged, and then
it's a win-win-win.
Do more stuff like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited about working with this brand, because it's really great.
So, it is. Yeah. It is.
We wouldn't have devoted 5 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever we did to talking about a product if we didn't love it. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I forgot to say, I made a note, is that we have one of their helmets, and that's like a smaller, you know, they have a section for helmets and accessories, but they're those helmets that are safety rated for both, like skateboards and bikes. So like bike helmets have a specific shape. Anyway, it's super safe feeling, and they have really cute patterns and stuff. So forgot to mention that too.
All right,
I think we're good for today. We will be back next week, and you guys have until November 25th to enter this giveaway. And if you're catching this episode like far into the future, hopefully these gift ideas are still, I think the gift ideas are still relevant, even if the giveaway,
they seem pretty classic.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Well, thanks, Megan.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Sarah. It's been good talking, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Bye.